Good morning and welcome each one to the service this morning. It's so good to see all of you here, everyone. I enjoyed those songs. I think that was a very good song to have. We are at the beginning of Passion Week, and I think that was a very appropriate number to sing there. I also really enjoyed your devotional this morning, Ron. I thought that was also very cogent. And I like that thought that our conversations with each other happen in the grace that is God, and through God we reach out to others. And it also reminded me of a story that one of my friends told me that has worked a lot with Muslims. Ron made the comment that grace is a central tenet of the Christian faith that is not found in other faiths. And he was talking with a man who was wrestling with this idea of the grace of God, and he said, "Well, it's this way. It's like you would say you would steal a bag of mangoes from your friend, and you feel bad about it. And so later on, you give the mangoes back. That takes care of that horizontal relationship. But you still need to make it right with God. And that's where the grace of God comes in allowing us to make our wrongs right with Him." So I appreciated that. Also, I find it interesting that the Lord led us both to Ephesians 2. That's what I'm going to be reading out of this morning. So apparently there are things in here that we need. So you can go ahead and turn in Ephesians 2 if you like. I'm going to read the entire chapter and then just make a couple comments. I was outside last night after dark, and the moon had come up, and it was a beautiful evening. It was a little bit cool. And as I was standing out there looking at the moon and hearing the sounds of spring and seeing some of the wilted blooms around me and some of the new ones that are coming up after this cold snap that we had, it made me think of the inexorability of God. I know spring is coming. I know that summer is going to come. It's inexorable. Even though winter throws a few temper tantrums here and there and tosses in some below freezing days when it feels like it should be warm now, we know spring is coming. It's inexorable. And it made me think of the inexorability of God and His coming. That it's going to happen. And sometimes it feels like we're in a world that lives its life with everything against what God teaches, and in a way that clearly shows they're doing nothing to prepare for it. But it's inexorable. It's going to happen. And God's way will always come to pass. So that led me to Ephesians 2. Thinking of spring coming in, new birth, and then the inevitability of the return of Christ, and how important it is that we are in Christ and that we have experienced the new birth. Am I ready for His coming? Let's read Ephesians chapter 2. "And you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, which who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Another thing that led me to think of this chapter is the new babies that we've welcomed into our congregation in the last little while. And thinking of new birth, and talks about here about coming into God's family. I also love what it says in verse 10, that we're his workmanship. It's not about our works. We are God's workmanship, but he created us for something special. It says he created us to do good works. And that's the outworking of the new birth. And I love how it talks about the household of God. We are being welcomed into God's house, into God's family, one of his children. Just as we joyfully welcome new babies into our homes, into our church, so God joyfully welcomes his children. The Bible talks about new Christians sometimes as babes. And so I think that illustration follows through, that God welcomes us, nurtures and cares for us, and helps us to grow in his family. The thing that is different about the new birth in the Christian life versus a child being born is that the new birth is a second chance. We are born carnal. We are born selfish, desiring our own things. The new birth is a second chance at gaining fulfillment in life. Because before the new birth, it's all about us, which is a dark, selfish, and difficult place to be. But after the new birth, our focus changes to God, to serving him, and often serving him through serving others. And that is a place of fulfillment and joy. Not to say that it's not sometimes difficult, but it's still a place of fulfillment and joy. I love how it says in verses 7, in the ages to come, God isn't welcoming us into a family for just a little bit. If we stay with him, if we continue to live as one of his children, he's saying, I love you so much that I never want to be without you. And when it talks about the mansions in John, where it says, my Father's house are many mansions, I think one thing he's saying is that there's lots of room. There's room for all of us, and that's God's heart for his children. That's God's heart for people, is that there's lots of room in God's heart and in God's mansion. And if we take the path that he has given us of the new birth, and we give ourselves to God, and we live that holy life that he requires of us, there is room. And we can join not only now, but eternally in the household of God.